800-949-4343.
Many thanks to Richard Goldstein of Pennsylvania for going to WJXA Online to support in honor of the Overlook Show with Rob Saffer. Okay. No one for our show yet, though, which would be nice if you're a listener to become a sustaining monthly supporter in our in the name of our show.
That's right, and we're awaiting our next guests as we.
In the meantime,
we're talking about sustainable.
Yeah. In the meantime, please call in and let us know that you want to become a sustainer. In other words, if you go online and become a sustainer, let us know so we can, you know, give you a shout out. And we could do that if you call it either on the pledge drive line of 697-7400 or to talk to us, which is an honor in itself. 828-0290.
Think of it this way. $5 in when you think about the times in which we live. $5 a week.
A month.
You can do it
a month or
sorry.
A week. It's all right.
Adds up very quickly, and it's like, I won't say you won't miss it, but I don't think you will. And it ends up being, at the end, $60.
I know. What's $5? $5, you know, you hand that out on the street. $5, I understand to some people it's a lot of money. But that's okay, because if they're listening to the show and they're not contributing, you know what that's called, Ellen?
No.
A free rider.
Oh.
You know?
Well, you know, some people would rather give their time as a volunteer.
Well, that's good, too, if they have no money. But if they have money, fork it over. That's what I say. Pull over, because that's the name of our pledge drive thing. Pull over your car, if you're in your car, and get on your little device, whether it's a phone, whether it's an iPad, whatever, and put in WJXC. And at the /donate button, become a sustaining monthly supporter. I hope that call is for us.
I was loving that version of Mr. Bojangles. You know, it was instantly recognizable as soon as it came on, and I never heard the singer before, and loved that version. So, yeah, this is just one of many examples of how educational and inspirational WGXC is in just shaking up your day, massaging your mind and your brain and your soul and your spirit. Love this station, and thank you for listening. As you are probably aware, we are doing a pledge drive, and it's kind of a fresh and different approach. This time, we're focusing really on just sustaining supporters. Nowadays, there's, of course, a lot of talk about sustainability with economic models and agricultural models, food systems and everything. And, of course, any business wants to be able to sustain itself, and especially a community-run organization like this. That is for you, for the people, that is listener-supported. You know, we run on a low budget. So to do more with less, we can do more if you have a monthly contribution. So if only a one-time donation's all you can do, then great. You know, we'd never turn anything away. Support is wonderful, no matter where it's coming from, no matter from whom or when. But to have that monthly thing to rely on, it's incredible. So we're trying to get 250 new supporters, sustaining supporters. I think we've got about 14 so far. So I did a little calculation. Like if the average new sustaining supporter does $10 a month, it's only $120 a year, that's $30,000 of predictable income. So if you can do that, if you can do 10 a month, you know, whether you have to make a small sacrifice or not with a little coffee or a little soda, whatever, little budget cuts, whatever you can do, 5, 10, 15, 20 bucks a month. Think about that. 10 bucks a month from you and another 235 new sustaining supporters will get us 30,000 a year. And that is so what we need. This station is always fresh and it's always real. And it always reflects really the people, the minds and the personalities of those of us who broadcast to you. And we do it because we enjoy it and we care about what people are consuming in our beloved home areas of Greene County and Columbia County. So the number, 518-697-7400. That's 518-697-7400. It's the pullover pledge drive, so donate safely. Pull that car over or wherever you are. Go to WGXC.org, WGXC.org, and become a sustaining supporter.
Hi, everybody. This is Brad with the United Way of Columbia and Greene Counties. You are listening to WGXC ACRA, Columbia and Greene Counties, 90.7 on the dial.
Listen to music and voices. Listen to work and play. Listen to eat and drink. Listen to noise and fun. Listen to pink and blue. Listen to a heart rainbow. Listen to wizards and witches. Listen to jazz play. Listen to dogs and mice. Listen to Rome and Italy. Listen to Mars and Venus. Listen to the planet. Listen to teeth and trucks. Listen to Kaizen and Violet. Listen to stars and stripes. Listen to Texas. Listen to bells and waterfalls. Listen to churches and steeple. Dance and sing and listen and bells. Listen to making things, stripes and zigzags. Bike riding and zigzagging. No, listen to bike riding and curving. Listen to the radio going on and on. Listen to the radio, WGXC.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
I hope you'll join me this evening on the Jazz Disturbance. Join the 38 other people who have become sustaining supporters during our pullover pledge drive. Yes, this is Cheryl Kay, host of the Jazz Disturbance since 2001 when this media project called WGXC began. And my goal this evening is to bring at least five of you in to pledge your support, to become a sustaining monthly supporter. You can do that by going to our website, wgxc.org/donate. You can also call us at 518-697-7400. For those of you who would like to mail in your pledge of support to Community Radio, you can mail it to WGXC Care of Wave Farm, 5662 Route 23 in Acre, New York, 12405. This is day 9 of our pledge drive. We're going to only go for another, 5-6 days, only 2 weeks of this. We're not going to drag this out forever. We're asking you as much as we can to keep us on the air. 518-697-7400 or wgxc.org/donate. So many of you do call in, email us, and tell us how much you appreciate us being here covering Greene and Columbia County. As you know, we're on the World Wide Web, wgxc.org. You can come to our website. You can, if you miss a show, whether it's public affairs, whether it's music, or something you wanted to hear during our afternoon or morning show, you can go to our archives, wgxc.org/donate. You've heard all the reasons to support us. Do it now while it's fresh in your mind. wgxc.org/donate. WGXC.org/donate. I have become a sustaining supporter. Yes, indeed. I pledge my support monthly, coming right out of my, right off of my credit card. Painless. Don't even think about it. Oh, and also, of course, I lend my voice here to so many others, about 85 of us who volunteer our time to do whatever we do. We bring our passion to you, and it is free to you in a sense. But we can't exist in this building for free. By the way, we're at the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, 369 Warren Street. We've been here since April, and we do have rent to take care of. And that's part of the reason why we're here. 518-697-7400, wgxc.org/donate. Yeah, give it up now so we don't have to give it up later. I mean, part of the reason that we are doing this, as you've probably heard some of us say, is we don't want to keep doing this on. If we can get, now, our goal overall is to nab 250 sustaining supporters. Right now, we are up to 38 and we are growing, but we need to do this quickly. This pullover pledge drive ends next Tuesday. Oh! Look what the cat dragged in.
Hello, hello, hello.
Hello, station manager Lynn Sloniker, who has also been here as long as I've been here.
Well, almost.
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 Maybe yeah. A day or two separates us. So she's here to lend her voice and mention some things that may not have been said yet since we started this on October 10th. This fund drive, pledge drive, goes all the way to October 23rd. Lynn.
Yes, through next Tuesday, and we really, really need to make our goal 250 sustaining supporters by the end of the day on Tuesday. Have we spoken at all about what makes sustaining support such a great idea?
I was leaving that up to you.
Well, it's a great idea for us because it's a stream of revenue that we can depend on every month. But for donors, it's also a great way to give because you can control how much you contribute every month. Think of it as an investment in a resource in your community, something that is unique. I don't think, when was the last time this area had a community radio station, Cheryl?
Never?
Yeah, and we've been here for 7 years, almost eight come February.
Yep.
And I think people like us. What do you think?
I think they do. It just takes a little kind of, you know, tickling to get them to come out and not just give but participate.
Right.
As part of this radio station, you can become a programmer. You can volunteer your time and help us at events.
Right.
You know, it's that time of year, and there'll be all kinds of parties and things and this and that. We already know that a number of events happen at Hilo in Catskill.
Exactly.
And we are part of that. But that can only happen with your pledges of support at wgxc.org/donate.
Or by calling 518-697-7400. I think it's a, you know, the other thing too, we have, oops, I hit the table. Oh.
Don't hurt that table. It didn't do anything to you.
We have elections coming up. We have the midterm elections.
Oh,
and
God.
You know, we cover everything from local. You know, there are a couple of coroner races, treasurer races, legislature races in Greene County in November. You're not going to find those stories and learn about those candidates anywhere else but on WGXC. And then there are also the congressional race, which, of course, we've been preoccupied with for nearly 2 years now. So in addition to, you know, the events, we also have our public conversations about these issues and more that you won't hear anywhere else.
It's so true. I mean, now that we're at 4th and Warren, it's so much easier for people to come see us.
Yep.
And to have more visitors on air, which is really nice. But that can't happen if the doors are locked.
That's right.
And how can they contribute, Lynn?
They can go online to wgxc.org/donate.
Yep.
Or call us at 518-697-7400. You okay?
Oh, yeah. It's that time of year. See, I work with small, germy children. And I am sick most of the time. It always hits me in the throat. It, like, attacks me.
Yeah.
And I love to talk, so it's...
That's your weak spot.
It really is. But, folks, seriously, wgxc.org/donate. You have to allow me this outlet to chat, or I'd be home all the time talking my poor husband to death.
Yeah, well, that could be said of most of us.
Well, maybe you're like me. I mean, the minute I get out of bed, I am chirping. I am chirping at him, at the cats, at the radio.
Yeah, I'm not that way so much in the morning because there's no one for me to chat with. No one in my house gets up, and that includes the cats, much before 9 o'clock. So I enjoy that quiet time.
Well, we don't enjoy the quiet time here. It's much too quiet on a Thursday evening. 518-697-7400, online at wgxc.org/donate. If you feel too snail mail, that's WGXC care of Wave Farm, 5662 Route 23, Acre, New York, 12405. And folks, as I say on Thursday nights, if you want to get in touch with us, you can also email us, info@wgxc.org. If you have any questions about anything that goes on here, what is being said, what is being played.
Right. Or if you want to do your own show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you can email, you can call, or you can stop by if you're in Hudson.
Yep. 369
any
Warren
of our
Street.
Studios, actually.
Yeah. There's a studio in Catskill located inside of the Catskill Public Library. And Wave Farm itself, as you know, we are a program division of Wave Farm, which is a nonprofit
arts organization.
And they are located at 5662 Route 23 in Acre. Folks, you're in tune to 90.7 FM, WGXC Acre, hands-on radio, our creative community radio station based in New York's Greene and Columbia County. Hands-on access and participation activate WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement. We broadcast from Hudson, Catskill, and Acre, New York. I'm your host, Cheryl Kay.
Good evening, everyone. Those of us who are from the South always say that we're the warmest people on the earth. I might, please don't tell them, I might have to disagree tonight for whatever part of the earth all of you are from. You have been extremely warm and embracing for that and more. I thank you. What a pleasure it is for me to take part in your 2018 Community Radio Conference. Very seldom do policy influencers, past or present, have the opportunity to interact with those of you who unapologetically identify yourselves as radio activists. But honestly, if you truly love this medium, and I do, and the communities that are served by it, there is no other label that truly matters. So my sincere thanks go to all of you, but specifically Becky Myers, Sabrina Roach, Betty McArdle, if I said your name correctly, Marty Jones, for the invitation, for the introduction, for the hospitality shown to this jet lag, a little soggy, but never discouraged, former FCC commissioner, who recognizes that the agency she truly loves the most, one is that is uniquely in a position to really do some amazing things, has not often shown a love for the platforms you represent. I find that especially troubling because to me, radio is the purest form of media. And as much as we fawn over new and shiny technologies and services and apps, radio is tangible. It is always available. It is present. It informs you in time of crisis, and it spreads the love when you want to celebrate. It never goes out of style. It would never go out of style, no matter what, how many obituaries you will read. You will always be here. Yeah. And that is especially true and critical when it comes to non-commercial stations, because you represent the sharpest, purest, most reflective areas of the communities that you serve. You go over and beyond to reach and speak for the too often ignored. And that, in this day and time, regardless of how you feel of what's been going on in front and center, these communities need you more today and tomorrow than ever before. Because regardless of how you feel, who you believe, that's secondary right this moment. It is how the communities feel, what they need to say. And the question is, and you've got the answer, what platforms will allow them to say it? Yours will. And they're going to need you. We're going to need you more than ever before. Because to me, the only constructive way and means to say what's on our minds, to release whatever frustrations or euphoria that we have at this juncture, it is best done over your platforms. Because I think from where I sit, and I don't know if this is a function of age or I don't know what it is, but the older I get, the more I know and see that the challenges that we have in our society can be pointed, targeted, and really when you zone in on them, they're because we don't listen to each other. We don't use the platforms before us to hear each other. And to do those two, which is really one, it doesn't mean that we will agree with each other, but we need a means and a platform and opportunities to understand each other. Because if we are able to do that, then honestly, all the rest of the particulars are secondary. Now, I bring this up in part because I think about who I am and what I am to you. I started out in this media ecosystem as a manager of a small weekly African-American oriented, a weekly newspaper in Charleston, South Carolina. Around that time when I got into year 2.5, the owner and manager of WPAL AM radio station, which is no longer formatted in the same way, allowed this not so ready for prime time or any time adult to speak her mind and contribute to the discourse of the day on a certain Saturday afternoon during a live radio segment back in the late, like I said, like the late 80s. Before then, I always listened and appreciated radio, but on that day, I actually fell in love. That station and that program allowed and enabled someone like me to be my pure self. Unapologetically my pure self. It wasn't all pretty. It wasn't all coherent. But it had allowed me to be me. I didn't have to dress up, apply makeup, or worry about all the other externals. So you know I really fell in love then. All I needed were those headphones, even if there was some tape on them. A mic, even though it looked like it wasn't going to withstand my interview, and a broadcast signal which offered the ability to reach others often miles away. We addressed key issues in our communities that the other outlets ignored, and we gave listeners the opportunity to call in, agree with us, or challenge us, and challenge us they did. I grew more and more each time I appeared on that program. And what was made clear during those segments is at its very best, radio through innovative content, awesome programming. When it reaches us in real time, it entertains, it informs, it challenges, it educates, it inspires, it uplifts, it heals, and it makes us more whole. You are here, supported by other members of the grassroots communities, because you know what is too painfully true, that too often in the communities in which you serve, not enough civic leaders acknowledge, support, or recognizes how essential your platform is, how critical you are to those who are often invisible in plain sight. You have the potential to not only share their stories, allow them to be seen, allow them to be heard, but you have the ability to be the most perfect first informers and even more perfect first enablers. The lonely, the homebound, the overworked, the underpaid, they still want to be informed. The disconnected from what should be ubiquitous broadband-enabled platforms at all of our disposals. You are the backstop, the information conduits, when those 40-plus million people don't have broadband, the ability to have broadband at home. You're there for the physically, educationally, and information challenge. They need you. They need you now more than ever before. There are too many in our communities that are mislabeled, misunderstood. People make assumptions when you walk in the room. You allow them to be defined properly. That is an awesome responsibility. Your stations meet people where they are, just like a connected community should. You're there to hold their hand when they need it, to guide them to where they desire to be, because alone, most of us are unable to take the necessary steps we need to be full contributors to our communities. That is the power of community radio. Like you, I took a victory lap when the FCC returned more local voices to the airwaves by more fulfilling our obligation to the Local Community Radio Act of 2010. But there are challenges that remain. There are challenges that, you know, if interference issues are not properly dealt with, you know, from some of the translators, I hope I'm not stepping on any toes, but if they're not properly addressed with, we're all at risk. If financial support from franchise fees, if they dry up, then we are all at risk. And what does it mean? What will it mean for these local voices, this programming, these unique opportunities for those of us who don't have a voice? We've got to ask, answer, and challenge those who have the ability to shift those paradigms. When I listened at lunch today, I thought I was pretty informed about hip hop. I learned a lot today. I really did. When you talk about what you do and what that station pointed out, it did not make assumptions or ignore the youth. It included them in their programming and their makeup. It allowed those who sometimes act out because there's no one interacting with them to be heard. We all listened and learned today. And it reinforced what our values, what our objectives, and what our potential is. Not everybody in this country is connected to broadband, but they have the capacity to be connected to you. Like, though, some of the technology giants who might be 35 and 40 years old with billion-plus-dollar funds. Yes, I'm a little jealous. You have one of the most critical characteristics that they often brag about. You're disruptive. You are disruptive. You target in unconventional ways. You're unapologetically sometimes narrow in your programming and objectives. You don't care about what the commercial stations are doing. You're doing what your community needs you to do. And for that and more, I thank you. Now, I want to give us a chance. I don't know if I'm breaking protocols, which I don't really care because, again, this is a non-commercial, non-conforming. I was told by one person, and if I said it wrong, that we have an opportunity to ask questions. I didn't want to make this a long speech. I just wanted to reinforce to you that when the FCC doesn't get it all right, when our local officials, when they don't get it all right, when the companies that have those franchise agreements, when they don't get it all right, you are there to not only pick us up the pieces, but to remind us of what is right. When we fall short, you are there to hopefully embrace and nurture us, to get us to a better place, so that all of the problems we seem to be able to properly enumerate, so eloquently enumerate, you not only address them, but you provide the platform for us to discuss how to get over and past them. You are the ones who challenge and make us not so passive and accepting of what is. You do that every day. And while I no longer have a vote at the FCC, for anybody who is willing to listen, I will always say the reason why I came here to see you, to meet you, to be with you, is because I believe in you. Thank you very much. You're very kind. You're very kind. Those of you who've done a little research on me know I'm a PK, a politician's kid, and politicians' kids have a tendency to be a little verbose, so we didn't have a lot of time for questions. So I just want to give you an opportunity to do that if you care to. I know I'm standing between you and libations and whatever else that you do on a rainy Friday night. I don't want to know because I want to look at you in the way that I see you now and not. But seriously, if you wanted to take this opportunity to either make a statement that you couldn't make today or ask some questions, I'll be glad to. And if you want to help navigate and okay, so to the Bettys. I don't know what. Questions from. Okay. Wait, did you mind identifying Brenda? Her name is Brenda.
I'm just curious what you're doing now, and I understand that you left the FCC under duress. I'm wondering if you would have stayed there, would you have fought?
Well, I like to think that on matters that are critical, that I had a reputation, fighting for those who weren't heard, those individuals. Right now, I am taking advantage of a fellowship at the Open Society Foundations, which is based in New York. And the thing that we did not do an incredible job handling at the FCC is really bringing just and reasonable and fair rates to inmates and their families when it comes to making phone calls. And so that is a project that I'm working with some of the activists and those interested on who really recognize that true criminal justice reform includes the ability to keep in touch with their loved ones. So that's my primary focus right now. In the next couple of months, I might have to end up because, two mortgages. But now I'm doing what I'd love, and as long as I can afford to do that, that will be my single focus. Oh, the other, the FCC, I just realized I did voluntarily leave. And this is no real secret, that it got to the point where I thought I would be more effective, messenger on the outside than in. I'm pretty tough and can take being on the not winning side. But I just felt that I would be a better service to my community on the outside because of what I just said. So that is very interesting because that needs to be reasonable too. And let me make a quick example. I don't know if you are aware of some of the communities that are allowing for some access, but what they're doing, let me back up and say, I love technology. Technology is a neutral platform. It can enable us positively or hardwire some of our most negative characteristics. And this is an example where it's not so rosy. What is happening now in many of those facilities, you can no longer send a letter or a card or pictures in the mail. They're getting rid of that. And they are saying you need to use the internet to do so. But they're charging you for each page. And they're not charging you a penny or two or three for each page. Also, when it comes to technology and being connected with inmates, to keeping in touch with their families, they've got this thing called video conferencing or calling. Now, that sounds lovely, especially if you live miles away. But if it costs you $1.50 or $2 a minute and the quality is horrible, then where has technology really taken you? And the predicate behind that is where a lot of these facilities have instituted this video calling. They are getting rid of in-person visits. So you can live two blocks away from the facility and you can, and you have to pay to see them from the neck up if you're lucky. If you're 5'2.5" for me, like me, it's probably from the nose up because they don't adjust it. So these are the types of things. So it's coming, but at a severe cost, and we're still not addressing the issue of affordability when it comes to keeping in touch.
There's many reasons that younger people are not being drawn to radio. Some of them are technological, maybe most of them are, but one of them is that it's that radio has this anachronistic list of words that can't be said, that you hear it in every other aspect of society except on broadcast media. And I'm just curious, you know, if you think that is ever, that barrier is ever going to break down.
So that, if I'm following, and I think I am following what you're saying, that bar has moved considerably. I've listened to the radio, and I've heard some 3- and 4- and 5- letter words during the day. I'm sorry?
Examples?
I'm a lady, at least on stage. And so, again, you know, those norms and what we hear and what's considered, you know, reasonable, you know, that's going to change as we do. I don't know how they answer. Like I said, I'm trying to think, other than the F-bomb, you know, what I really don't hear on radio that I don't hear, you know, walking up the street. You know, maybe, you know, you guys are cleaner, bless you, you know, than what I'm hearing on commercial radio. But I don't know if I'm properly answering your question. I don't see much of a societal difference. I don't know if my niece and nephews, you know, and they're nieces, the older ones are in their 20s. I've never heard about them listening to radio. So there is a sort of a generational challenge. But on the other side, we all become our parents eventually, some of us, you know, sooner than others. And that's why I know this platform particularly, that same station that I mentioned to you in Charleston, that was the only station on the air during Hurricane Hugo, the only station for miles. That FM signal carried for 100-something miles. There is always going to be, you're always going to be the communications backstop. It is up to the FCC and those of us who care about, you know, all of you to make sure that you're a financially viable communications backstop, and that's a topic for, you know, another series of conversations. Yes, sir.
Is net neutrality on life support, and what is its prognosis?
Yeah, I should have known I wasn't going to walk out of here without that one being asked. I will say that I'm troubled at this point. I'm troubled in part because of what was laid down in a lot of the state preemption issues. And that is, to me, is significant. Because if that part, you know, is left to stand, not only would the net neutrality, you know, principles be compromised, but all of the other planning and infrastructure issues in terms of state and local communities, you know, will be, you know, not, will be disadvantaged. This is a battle of the titans. You know, we talked earlier, you know, this is a battle of the owners and users, you know, of these platforms. That's what it boils down to. And it really depends. It's not going to come down necessarily that who has the most money. Who can prove their case before a certain panel of judges. And so I can't predict it because I'm a generally positive person. But I tell you, we're going to have a lot of oxygen tanks in order to sustain ourselves over the next couple of years. But I'm heartened, I'm uplifted by California and other states that are challenging the FCC. They know what their communities need. I don't know if that part is going to be upheld, but it's worth the investment. There is no other platform, and I'll put yours on a level playing field with the internet and this. There's no other most democratic platform I know. It is the most equalizing and enabling infrastructure that we have. It meets you where you are. You're hearing the themes in my speech when I'm speaking about you. And for to do anything that will give an advantage to the owners over the users, I find problematic. So if the goal is to make sure that the platforms that we have, particularly that one is enabling, then the proponents of net neutrality rules will win.
Thank you,
Commissioner. Thank you so much.
Sharon Scott of Art FM WXOX Louisville would like to present its 2018 Art FM Radio Pioneer Award. Sharon, would you please come forward?
Hi, everybody. So many amazing people doing great things in this community. Again, a pleasure to be here as always. The Art FM Radio Pioneer Award recognizes individuals who transcend and defy traditional uses of radio to discover new possibilities and opportunities in broadcasting. Our first award went to Clyde Clifford, a programmer out of KKAY in Little Rock, Arkansas. He pioneered freeform broadcasting. He was one of the pioneers in freeform broadcasting back in the early 60s and 70s. Last year, our award went to Mr. Jim Ellinger, who we have the honor of having in the audience. Jim has pioneered radio stations across the world, bringing the power of broadcasting to communities in multiple hard-to-reach places, risked his life to bring the power of broadcasting to communities who really needed it and can use it for the service and the well-being of each other.
We love you, Jim.
Thank you, Jim. So it's wonderful to be here. I have a feeling there might be other Radio Pioneer winners in this audience. Again, always an honor to be amongst you all. Through her work on behalf of community media, low power FM, and net neutrality, this year's award recipient has a distinguished history of pioneering opportunities in media for diverse and unheard populations at the highest national level. This year's Art FM Radio Pioneer Award goes to FCC Commissioner Mignon Clyburn.
And I'm here, hopefully, to encourage you to pledge to keep community radio alive and well throughout this year, into the next year, and into perpetuity. It's not much to ask. The pledge drive number is 518-697-7400. Or you can donate online at wgxe.org/donate. The whole purpose of this pledge drive is to transform the very nature of subsequent pledge drives. So that's something to think about. The idea being, if we can build a base of sustaining supporters, we're looking for 250 people, individuals, groups of individuals, to commit to pledging an amount of money that will come out on a regular basis, a monthly basis, stabilizing our finances, and assuring this type of quality programming and its various offshoots will continue. The side benefit of all this, of course, is that the frequency and duration of future pledge drives, will be minimalized. It's win-win, my friends. It's all win-win. 518-697-7400, or do it online at wgxe.org/donate. And listen to Al Green. Do it right now. Right now. Oh, see what happens when you're not properly prepared. Hold on one second. Well, the proper plug is in. Hi. Would you like to help me? Look who's here. Neva is here.
Hi.
So, you see, auxiliary 2, yes?
Yeah.
And it's not working. This is, see, this is what live radio is all about. The magic of live radio. That is to say, sometimes you see it and sometimes you don't. Sometimes you hear it and sometimes you don't. Isn't it?
Very interesting.
Don't take this the wrong way, but use this opportunity to call 518-697-7400 or do it online at wgxe.org/donate.
Satirist Randy Rainbow brings his parody songs of Donald Trump to Kingston October 19th. He performs at Bar Devon Friday, October 19th. Here's his song, If I Ever Got Impeached.
We are back, and I'm joined now by a very special guest, the President of the United States. Are we still going with that title? Yes? They're telling me yes? Okay, still good. Welcome, Mr. President. Thank you so much for taking the time. I know you must be very busy cleaning out your desk. It has been quite a dramatic news week for you.
They make up lies. I've seen it many times. They make up things.
I mean, two former employees convicted, one implicating you as a co-conspirator in his crimes, a public feud with your attorney general, friends and allies, even doormen flipping on you left and right.
I know all about flipping. For 30, 40 years, I've been watching Flippers.
Such a good show.
Look, I didn't know Manafort well. He wasn't with the campaign long.
Well, then why don't we start with your former attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen?
I always found him to be a nice guy.
Were you aware of the hush money payments he is now saying were financed by the campaign per your instruction?
They didn't come out of the campaign. They came from me, and I tweeted about it. You know, I don't know if you know, but I tweeted about the payments. But they didn't come out of campaign.
Did they come out of the campaign?
They didn't come out of the campaign, and that's big.
Huge.
Because that could be...
illegal?
A little dicey.
Or illegal.
But they weren't... That's not a... It's not even a campaign... a violation. If you look at President Obama, he had a massive...
David Pecker, your friend and CEO of the National Enquirer, has recently been granted immunity in the Cohen investigation and is said to have a lot of dirt on you.
I don't know. I've always had controversy in my life, and I've always succeeded. I've always won.
Well, some say you're about to win, most likely to get impeached.
I'll tell you what. If I ever got impeached, I think the market would crash.
If you ever got impeached?
I think everybody would be very poor.
Why, if you ever got impeached, you would...
You would probably start crying, then rehash all the lying and rhetoric you've preached. All the Dems would be smirking, Jim Acosta would start twerking if you ever got impeached.
If I ever got impeached...
You could just give in to Mueller, then go and get some color by lying on a beach.
This is all natural, right?
With the crimes you've been fixing, you could be another Nixon if you only got impeached.
I think the market would crash.
You'd be through and take with you our worries and our strife. You'd return to only burdening your wife. And we'd resume a normal life. Find a lawyer, cause you'll need one. Write a book, or learn to read one. Or get your eyebrows bleached, cause... Just relax at the spa, go yourself at Mar-a-Lago when you, if you get impeached.
I don't know how you can impeach somebody who's done a great job.
You'd be more than implicated for laws you violated and protocols you breached.
Because without this thinking...
We could finally all stop drinking if you ever got impeached.
I think everybody would be very poor.
We would dance and sing and revel. No one else has hit the level of infamy you've reached. Giuliani could retire. Pence could join a gay men's choir if you ever get impeached.
The president did nothing wrong.
When you flee, take Huckabee. And finally I'll be calm. I'd ask Michael Avenatti to the prom. And Kellyanne could move to Guam. More than half the country's waiting, so think about the ratings. Cause when you gave your speech, we would all tune in to listen. You could finally go to prison.
I'm not involved. I wasn't charged with anything.
If you ever got impeached.
I think everybody would be very poor.
What would you do with a brain if you had one?
I'll remind our listeners that we are in the middle of a pledge drive. And more importantly, Ellen and I, excuse me from sucking on my lozenge, but Ellen and I have both upped our sustaining support of the station. And that sustaining support of the station, sorry, I got the lozenge sometimes sticks to my stuff here.
This is too much. I'm not sure I'm going to get through this show, folks.
This lozenge is like really something. Excuse me. A sustaining supporter is someone who designates a certain amount every month to come out against their credit card. You're notified every month. You can change the amount up or down, preferably up. And it makes it easier, although it's still a pain in the butt to get this station, funded. It makes it easier to plan. So if you haven't been, if you've given regularly to our pledge drives, there's no reason you shouldn't be a sustaining supporter because it's easier to deal with. You don't have to. This way, when we do have pledge drives, you can say, well, I'm doing my share. And you go to WGXC. Oh, see, I'm screwing it up again. every time I move my lozenge to
why
the front.
Why don't you tell me what you'd like to say, and I'll say
no, I figured
you.
Out. I'm watching you. The technique is to put the lozenge on a side in your cheek. I'm doing that now. Put a lozenge in my cheek. And go to WGXC.org/donate, and it tells you the whole Magilla. You can figure out, what level you want to sustain us at.
We are, however, still accepting single gifts.
We take single gifts. And you want to bring in a gift? Bring it on in. And if you my voice. If you bring it in, excuse me. If you bring it in, you could be on the radio if you want. You could come join this fun fest.
I was going to say, if you're stuck at home, I would sit back from the radio because
why?
The germs are so
powerful that going over the airwaves.
They might go over the airwaves.
Yeah, it sounds plausible. Not.
Well, anything seems to be plausible.
It occurs to me that we should probably spray these mics after we leave.
Good idea.
Kind of gross.
This is the WGXC Congressional Report. Stories about the New York 19 Congressional District from the past week and Representative John Faso and his Democratic counterpart Antonio Delgado and other candidates in the race to be the representative in New York's District 19.
The 538.com website currently reports that John Faso votes with Donald Trump's positions 89.2% of the time, the same as last week. 538.com also currently predicts Faso has a 40.2% chance of winning re-election, rating Democrat Antonio Delgado with a 59.8% chance of winning.
The Daily Freeman reports that actor Diane Neal will be on the ballot in the New York 19th congressional election November 6th. On October 11th, the State Court of Appeals denied a petition to appeal the previous attempt to keep Neal off the ballot by Rhinebeck resident Rima Liscombe. A lower court ruled that Neal's petitions for an independent line on the ballot lack sufficient signatures. Neal may not have collected the proper signatures, but the appellate division agreed that she was not properly served notice of the deficiencies with her petitions. Neal said in a press release, "This is a win for those who are tired of power brokers shoving the two-party system down our throats. We surpassed the high number of signatures they required us to get, so they challenged that. Then they went to court to appeal our victory that got us on the ballot. There are no more obstacles they can throw at us. Today's a win for democracy," end quote. Neal was required to get the same number of signatures as other candidates. Incumbent Republican John Faso, the Republican from Kinderhook, Democrat Antonio Delgado, a Rhinebeck resident, and Green Party candidate Steve Greenpeel of New Platts. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman.
Logan Weiss is reporting for Columbia Green Media that a large crowd packed into the Kinderhook Elks Lodge October 13th. For a town hall meeting held by Democrat Antonio Delgado, a candidate in the 19th congressional district race. The gathering was held in the hometown of Delgado's opponent, Republican U.S. Representative John Faso. For Delgado, it was his seventh town hall meeting of the campaign. Delgado was introduced by Peter Volkman, the village police chief in Chatham. He touted Delgado's educational background, his honest character, and the overall idea of how voting is part of American life. In his remarks, Delgado quipped about his background, quote, "You have probably heard about one of my jobs I had," unquote, he said, referencing Fosso's political commercials denigrating the Democrats' former music career. His speech covered a range of issues, including inequality, Medicaid, Medicare, women's rights, and education. Delgado also took